Mr. Tom Halpin. From Tov Halpin. Tom was born July 9th, 1932. The youngest of three children born to Rebecca and Nissim Halpin. He had his older brother Saul and his older sister Esther. Saul took after his larger-than-life mother Rebecca, and Tom took after his father. Tom was very proud of his family and the Sephardic tradition. Between the Cordova and Halpin families, he had all the friends he would ever need. He was happy being in the background as larger personalities took center stage. He basked in that sunlight, but behind his quiet and assuming nature, there was a kind, patient, and generous soul who was well loved by all that knew him. His parents came from Turkey. His mother was the daughter of Rabbi Yomtov Cordova, a name that has echoed in my life since I first heard that name mentioned by Tom's brother Saul. Do you know? And he pointed to himself and Tom goes, do you know? We are two grandsons of Rabbi Yomtov Cordova. I didn't know what he was talking about. I just arrived in Seattle for an interview, and he goes, we are grandsons of Rabbi Yomtov Cordova. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And he said to me, the greatest rabbi in Turkey. And I still didn't know what he meant, so he spent more time explaining it to me. One might assume that this grandfather rabbi must have been quite the personality, because they say that Tom's mother, Rebecca, and his brother Saul took after him. Tom's legal name was Yom Tov, after his maternal grandfather, as is the Sephardic tradition. Tom's father, Nissim Halpin, who everyone called Sam, was the opposite. He was the shy, quiet husband to Rebecca. Tom took after his father and modeled his character on him. His father was a hard-working man. He worked at Pike Place Market as a shoe shiner and later selling fruit, and Tom would help him out learning the trade. Family life, and most importantly Sephardic life, was surrounded around Sephardic Bikur Cholim congregation. They always lived just a couple of blocks away and were never far away from it for Shabbat and holiday services. Indeed, Chazan Azos, who said a couple of the Tehillim, said that he too was a very close friend of Tom growing up in that same neighborhood. The extended Halpin and Cordova families were always in each other's homes for all Shabbat and holiday meals. Tom married Judy, and they were married for over 55 years. They had one daughter, Christine, who was born while Tom was on a supply ship in the Mediterranean during the Korean War. He missed the birth of his daughter, but did get to visit much of Southern Europe, as well as visiting Turkey and seeing the extended family that had never made it to Seattle. When Tom got back, he went to trade school and became a manager at Boeing for over 30 years. And after he retired, he went to work delivering box lunches. Judy took the limelight in their 50 years of marriage. Tom, again, was always happy to be in the background. Indeed, Christine told me it was only after her mother Judy passed away that Tom and Christine really connected on a much deeper level. These past 10 years have been very special for you, a real blessing, and you've truly gotten to understand and appreciate your dad in so many different and beautiful ways. You noticed just how patient and kind he was, how generous he was. You were able to appreciate, with these new lenses, what a devoted son he'd always been to his mom and dad. That he was devoted to his great brother Saul, his big brother Saul. Even with Saul's difficulties in recent years, Tom would always visit him at the client with such loving eyes, with such tenderness. I've spoken to many in the community, and we struggle to see Saul as he is now because it's so different to who we remember him as. But not for Tom. For Tom, the tenderness, the joy and of love of seeing his big brother, he only saw him as his big brother. And that's something to be known about. A lot has come out in the last few days about his big brother Saul. Most people might find that difficult, to be described as the little brother or the brother of Saul, but that was always a badge of honor, of distinction for Tom to be known as the little brother, the baby brother of Saul. Tom loved his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren so much. He had a very special relationship with his grandson, Jim, which we will hear about in a few minutes. Christine told me that when she had cancer and had chemo treatments every 3 weeks for a period of 6 months, her father would take her to and from these appointments and always made her arroz con leche. Christine, you're so lucky that you've had this special time over the last 10 years to reconnect with your dad in so many different ways. All the experience that you've had should be treasured. Tom had so much patience, so much love, kindness, and generosity of spirit. His selfless spirit and kindness will live on with us, and he will be greatly missed. To think about this in our times, in a world where everyone is so self-centered, to see a person who saw the bigger picture, who was happier being in the background, surrounded by family, and to let them take the limelight, to always be there if you need it, but not there to overpower and overbear, is something truly humble of spirit, and something that which is rare, and something which we should value more. May his soul be bound up in the bound of life eternal. Amen. Can you hear it, Tom?
Amen.
Jim, would you like to come up?
So Bob Newhart once wrote, "I am a minimalist. I like saying the most with the least." Tom and I, while 50 years apart, were alike in several veins. But for background, Tom and I were surrounded by loved ones that weren't quite like us. His wife Judy loved to travel, would engage anyone and everyone that she met. Brother Solomon, gregarious, expressive, outgoing. Saul's wife Eleanor loved to entertain, would talk to anybody about anything. Daughter Christine chat up random strangers on the metro bus to talk about and show pictures of her grandchildren. Enter me, young boy, shy and introverted, timid and sometimes nervous, rock full of societal life. Within this group of aforementioned family, immediately I was drawn to Tom. A kindred spirit, years apart, but with corresponding personalities. I saw qualities that even at a young age I knew that were important. A man of routine, of endless dedication to his family and friends. A man that demonstrated via service to his country and a full career that followed, including a retirement job that he loved more than decades of going, that a strong work ethos provides opportunities. Tom was not boisterous, was not seeking to be the life of the party, did not get easily excited, and didn't need to be in order to be effective in promoting his principles. He was everything in adulthood that I was feeling out for my own and thought would be the path that I would follow. From Tom's perspective, now he has someone in which that someone viewed Tom as their favorite person. So I've been asked several times in the past few days about what has been my favorite memory, and I can't honestly point to one. It's really tough for me because I'm someone that compartmentalizes everything. And so in this realm, they take the totality of my experiences with Tom. The essence of who he was and the whole of all the experience is the impression that was and continues to be left. That said, the watershed moment for me was the start of a hobby that turned out to be much more. Some little boys collected Hot Wheels. Some collected action figures, even more had Michael Jordan posters in their room, but not I. I had a passion for everything traffic control. Signs, maps, striping, but especially traffic lights. Something about the uniformity, the need for rules to be followed, the quiet conveyance of messages piqued an early interest. Properties that Tom and I shared. Maybe I was just off. I had in my head that almost more than anything else in the world, I wanted a traffic light of my own. So with my parents' most likely bewildered blessing, I set out in search. Pre-internet, I turned to the blue pages in the local phone book, asking various government agencies what they do with their old traffic lights. Finally, I discovered that the city of Seattle had a surplus program and that for a small fee, I could be the proud owner of a traffic light. It was a date plan with Tom that I counted down the days to. I had already enjoyed every time that we could hang together, but now we were on a mission. Being 11 or 12, I hadn't exactly put a lot of planning into this quest, but it didn't matter. He drove with me all over South Seattle, going to various yards and shops before we found the motherland. Determined to acquire our prize, he approached some City of Seattle transportation worker and we're told to drive to the end of this alley. It was kind of down at the end of the shop. The gate was locked with a surplus material store, and we were told that maybe it wasn't going to happen today. But Grandpa Tom wouldn't let me down. When he pressed, this worker ended up climbing a chain link fence to get to the other side. An old traffic light was handed over the fence, and Tom caught it on the other side. The $20 that Tom was all happy to hand over, and I'm sure even today, was properly accounted for and placed back into the city's general fund and not to this worker's pocket as cost for climbing the fence, started a lifelong path for myself. 30 years later, and this passion has been turned into a career. As today, I am a traffic signal technician and answering everybody's questions for why that light by their home or work doesn't work quite right. His spirit was always giving, and his generosity extended to all facets of his life. I was told early on that college would be financed for both myself and my sister, Carolyn. Even as it took me 3 years to finish a 2-year degree, he never wavered on that, and I'm only too grateful for those opportunities. One of the few things that would drive him a bit nuts would be when I wouldn't tell him that I've already paid for my semester. As a young man, perhaps too proud to ask, even though the commitment was made. But for him to not honor a promise he made was not an option. An annual gift was always a proper time gift certificate. Many a meal together we had was had there, and he knew that even a small gesture like that would be appreciated. Tom was lucky enough to have not one, but two great grandchildren, and he loved them as he loved myself, my sister, and the rest of his family. And an expected grandparent-like action whenever the great grandchildren, Chelsea and Oliver, would be acting a little ruckus, and surely it was not because they were toddlers or small children, but because Caroline and I must have done something to cause that. Those grandparent functions that he now reveled in and excelled in and was able to, in his own way, effectuate was important groundwork for my sister's and I's upbringing. Spending longer in a bowling alley than he probably wanted to because I envisioned myself as quite the bowler, finding a parking lot and letting a 10-year-old me take the wheel of a mid-80s Chevy Capri sedan, annual trips to with his entire family to Seaside, Oregon, endless conversations about how this year was the year that the Seattle Mariners would make it to the World Series, followed by mid-season conversations about how they might make the playoffs. All those and more accomplishments were done by doing it his way. Quiet, a bit introverted, but always with love and commitment. And it was that style that reinforced that it was okay to be the way I am because he was much the same. So just to close, from Anne Lamott, the writer, lighthouses don't go running all over an island looking for boats to save. They just stand there shining. Mm-hmm.